This sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Verse number 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commissioned from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may have, may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Verse number 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Jesus, we thank you today. What a privilege to serve you, to know who you are, to know where we can stand with you one day. Thank you, Jesus, for truth. Thank you for your word, for your promise. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, all the honor in that matchless, that mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This afternoon, by the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you a message titled, Stop the Train. Stop the train. There's a story told of a man who grew up in a Christian home, but in his life he did not make Christ his main focus. You see, he was a good man, and he felt because he was a good man that he would make it to heaven one day. Throughout his life, he was honest in business. He never spoke ill of his neighbors, and from all avenues of his life, it would seem as though everything that he did was upright and proper. But what it was that he'd come to discover down the road was all of this still, I'm afraid, was not good enough. Just being a good old boy, just being a proper person in his community and in his life, it wasn't really good enough. It didn't fill the gap that still lied within his soul. I want you to know this afternoon that life, the one that you and I are living, is likened to that of a train. In this city and throughout our province and all around the world, what it is that you'll find is people are coming and going, and with that, knowingly or even unknowingly, in each of their or our lives, together it is we who are all heading towards our final destination. And what I'm saying to you this day is the fact that all of us, everyone, is heading for a final destination. One when when we or when you get there, you're going to be there for all eternity. And in your life and up until the day that life for you calls time, there you go and there they go from one destination to that of another, as it is people just like you and I who are living our lives and who are coming and going often without a thought of the last stop upon the tracks that lie somewhere ahead. We go out and get our jobs and we get our education and we make our money and we buy our pleasure devices and we go about maybe sitting in the afternoon on a sunny day and have a barbecue, or we are found by the lake and we're throwing in the line and we're going fishing, and we go about every day, and you get up on Monday morning often, they say, and you know you go to work, and so there we go every day, we're just doing what we're doing. And how many really stop and really think about that last stop that lies down the tracks somewhere ahead of them? Living your life for God, choosing not to live your life for God, well, that's completely up to you. But what it is that I want to convey to you this day is that the choices that you make in your life today are going to bring about the result of an eternal consequence. An eternal consequence in the end. And for some, it will be eternal bliss. While for others, eternity will bring upon their souls eternal regret. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. Beginning at verse number 12. Here the Revelator writes, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, in the story of the man who himself, as I've already said, who grew up in a Christian home, but who did not choose to make Christ his main focus. It was he who kept putting off the opportunities they had again and again for him to not only draw closer to God, but to also live his life for God. This man was offered the opportunity to repent of his sins, to be baptized in Jesus' name. And, you know, for all those who would choose to give and to live their lives for God, there is a gift from God which is being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by there or your speaking in an unknown tongue. However, crying and repenting at a tear-stained altar did not appeal to a man who in his life had attained a high social standing. That's below me. That's not something I would feel comfortable doing. What does the Bible say? It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's above me. I don't really think I'm a bad person, and I don't find myself, you know, in front of other people or even alone kneeling down and asking God to forgive me or asking God to help me to learn to love him and to live for him. I got money. I got prestige. I've got social standing. What do I need God for? And so on, this man went in his life from one stop along the tracks or the path of his life to the next. And yet in a time when he did not expect it, the day came when the train of his life had left its last stop and was now moving swiftly towards its final destination. And as he lay there on his hospital bed, unable to speak and unable to move, he cried out from within his soul, because he suddenly realized that this was and it would be the fact that he was dying. And so in a spirit of desperation, he cried out, "Stop the train! Stop the train. I want to get off. I want to go back. I want to do it over again. I want to live my life differently, you know. This time for God, you know, if I could only get off this train before I reach my final destination, I'd seek to get to know God better before it is I who ultimately now will have to face him. As a sad commentary to that of his life, the train that he was on kept on going towards its destination, and no matter the cries from his soul, it was this train that did not stop, but it kept on rolling on right up and until it was he who had breathed his last breath and his soul was ushered off to his eternity. There wasn't a turnaround. There wasn't a detour along the tracks. On it went, and on it continued until it was he who left this world and went into a life eternal. See, Apostle Paul, who writes in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Paul writes, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And then it's Solomon who writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. He writes, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." See, ever since the Garden of Eden, God had chosen not to create robots. Instead, humanity was created as a creature of choice. For it is God who desired his creation, or people, to serve him, to love him, and to live their lives for him because they wanted to and not because they had to. "You do it because I said so." And he stands there with a big bat or a club. "You better do it or else." "No. I want you to love me. I want you to live your life for me. I want you to serve me because you want to." That it's something came from inside your heart, not by force, but by choice. See, Adam and Eve were told in the beginning that they could eat of any tree in the garden, but God said, "Except for this one." And to you and I, it is God who says, "Dear soul, in the life that I, as your God, has given to you, live it any way that you desire, but always remember this. At the end of your life, the choices that you made and the direction that you took will bring about eternal results. Your choice is to live your life for me and to give your all to me, or it is you who instead are the one who can embark upon any road or any tracks of life, even though in this life they carry the potential of them taking you and keeping you as far away from me as they can. And from the time of your birth until the time of your death, the train that you had chosen to ride is what will be what continues down on the tracks until." And so you go from a young man or a young woman, and you get to the place where in your life you begin to gather friends, and maybe you get to the place where you start your first job, or you get to own your first car, or maybe you get to where you head off to college and you get yourself an apartment. And so life just keeps going on. And in this whole time, the only thing that's really missing and the only part that's not present in your life is a life that you would live for God. And you thought, "Well, I'm going to make my money, and you're going to marry that man in your life, or you're going to marry that woman of your dreams, and on you will go." And so there it is that you do go, and there it is that you do travel, and maybe you become a middle-aged or even elder in your life. And on the track you go, as I said, until. The psalmist writes in the book of Psalms, chapter 90. The book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 10, and the first portion. Here the writer writes, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 70 years, 70, 80. See, beyond that, you are living by the grace of Almighty God. However, because of life and the circumstances that come along with it, which is life, there's nobody is given a surefire promise that you or anyone will live out the entire length of days as is shared by this psalmist. I think back to a sister-in-law who left this world in her 30s. I think back to many people that I have come into contact with that left this life as juveniles, as children, as babies, middle-aged, and the old. You're not promised. You're guaranteed to live 70, 80 years. No, you're not. See, James writes in the book of James, chapter 4, James 4 and 14. He writes, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. See, what I'm saying is, while it is you who has life, and as it is you who lives it, the best decision that you in your life or this life could ever hope on making is to live your life for God. Being able to not get entrapped in a world whose destructive powers and addictions and the destination that it heads you toward is not one that you want to get there or arrive at one day. It is God who says, I'm going to keep you clean and keep you pure. I'm going to let your mind be focused on things above and not things upon this earth. I'm going to shower you with benefits, and I'm going to give you a life of promise and not one of regret. And at the same time, I want you to know that choosing to live your life for God should never be executed on the premise of fear. The reason is because, frankly, fear will only hold you bound so long, and sooner or later it will be you who goes beyond your fear. It will be you who most likely will choose to live your life both wanton and reckless in the face of no evidence of any looming judgment ahead, as it is your life's train that continues to roll down your life's tracks. Speaking for myself as having lived 22 years outside of the protection of God, today it is I who does not live my life for God because I have to. Meaning there are no barriers set up that I have to stay behind. There's no rules that I in my life must follow. For life, mine and yours, my friends, is a matter of choice. See, I choose to live my life for God, and I choose to turn my back upon a life in this temporal world. No matter what it is that the Bible says that I or anyone must follow, the reason I choose to live my life for God is because of a relationship, because of that of a faithfulness to me that God for several years has shown to me, as it is I who now in turn seeks to live my life faithful to Him. Relationships today, in the word faithfulness, they don't go hand in hand like they used to. People today will leave you on a whim. They'll say, I do and I love you until death do us part, and it could be a year and a half down the road to just a few. It could be the time when the children come along, where the finances get tight, and they turn and they walk away. But God has never walked away. The Bible says where Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. There's never been a time where God has said, you know what, I've had enough of you and your bad attitude and your lousy behavior, and so I'm walking away from you. No, it turns around the other way. We walk away from Him. I seek to live my life faithful to Him because He loved me when I was unlovable. I want you to know that by your coming to know God and by you in your life getting to where it is you who falls in love with God, there's nothing that this temporal world could ever hope to offer in an exchange that would be enough to cause me or my family to forfeit our opportunity of one day spending our eternity with a God that saved us. Go back on your own life's trip. Go down the tracks of your life up until it was you, whatever shape you were, found yourself at an altar before a God who died for you while you were yet a sinner. And because of this relationship with God for the past several years, it is I who has and who continues to do my best to share and to show those whose lives are on a train that one day will be what takes them to a final station, where an eternity for them will not offer its bliss, but instead it will give them its eternal consequence. And yet I couldn't even tell you. I can't count the times that I have received the brush off. Along with, I'm not really interested and I really don't care. The attitude and the response that comes along with it. Holy roller, Bible thumper, I don't need God. And on your train you go, and down the tracks of life you continue. See, it's in and it's with all of this, unbeknown to them all, the train that their life is traveling on, whether you or they even choose to believe it or not, on a day wherein some will not expect it, yet the train of their life, like the man in our story, will be that which embarks upon its final journey. However, this time as it travels down the tracks, no matter what it is that they or you choose to say or to have wished that you could have changed, the direction that the train is now taking you on and the destination that you will arrive at will be in accordance to that of your life that you chose to follow, and it will be now too late for you. With all of your might and even from the depths of your soul, who begins to cry out, stop the train! Stop it! I want to get off! I want to go back! I want to turn my life and this train around, and I want to consider what it is that God throughout my life was offering to me. Stop it! No matter how hard you pound on that engine door, how many cars you jump through seeking to escape, on that train will go until you are standing in the very presence of a God that you denied and you refused to serve. Today, with the blaring signs of the end times, along with all of the fulfilled prophecies and those that are coming to pass as every day goes by, what it is that you'll continue to see in your life are those who live lives in denial, along with those who declare, well, I'm not afraid. I don't really believe in hell. I don't think there is one. While these noted signs of times are fulfilled day by day, signs that carry within them a clarion call from the God who died for you on Calvary, what it is that all of us are experiencing and witnessing today is a wake-up call, along with a call to make your election and your calling sure. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Apostle Peter writes, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He goes on to say, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And in verse 14 he writes, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So what's the message to all of you this day? Well, the message that was in the beginning was how that God had offered to man whom he had created a paradise. And it was that deceitful serpent, the devil, who caused this paradise to be taken away from them, and thereby also from us. And it's that same God who we just celebrated this last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, who became the ultimate sacrifice so that we or you, all of us, could once again have the opportunity of regaining our lost paradise for being able to spend an eternity with God. The devil doesn't want you to live for God. The devil doesn't want you to walk on streets of gold. The devil doesn't want you to turn your back on him and turn your life towards Jesus Christ. The message to both the saved and the unsaved this day is, don't you in your life think that the sin that caused Adam and Eve to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden doesn't have the power to cause you and those who in their lives, who while traveling down the tracks of life, to be the sins that also can cause you to be on the train that will take you towards your soul's destruction. But it is you who will be the one who one day goes to that place where the Bible declares was prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. To the blood-bought this day, I caution you to never get to the place where it's you who begins to play with your soul's salvation. Thinking to yourself, I'm saved and I'll get by. I want you to hear me this day. No, you won't. But it is the Bible that says that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And what it is, it's you, all of us, really, who have repented of our sins and who've been baptized in Jesus' name, who've received the gift of the Holy Ghost. What we need to understand is the fact that the only time you or any of us are going to be eternally secure is on that day that is you who's walking on those streets of gold. And as far as this temporal life is concerned, the only way that you're going to make it there to heaven is for you and your life to be faithful unto God unto death, as it is He, God, who will in turn give you a crown of life. To those who are straddling the fence, or to those who have not yet chosen in your life to get in the church so that you can live your life for Jesus Christ, I want you to hear this loud and clear. The clock is ticking and time is running out for you. This world in which we're living in does not carry in it any eternal qualities, but by the same token, they who in their lives, while traveling down the tracks of this life, who choose to give and live and to surrender their lives unto God, it is they, and it's when their last stop is what lies ahead of them. It will be they who had chosen, be those of you who had given your all to the author and the finish of your faith, will be glad in the very day that you did. See, live for Jesus, that's what matters. And when other houses crumble, yours will remain strong. See, Jesus Christ, I want you to know, is coming back for those who are looking and longing for his return. And to all under the sound of my voice, it is you who needs to do all that you know that you need to do to make sure that your life's train is on the right track. Because sooner or later, all of us are going to be the ones who will reach that final destination of our souls. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 16. The book of Luke, chapter 16. You're on a train. You're going down the tracks. When's it going to stop? And where will it end? The book of Luke, chapter 16, beginning at verse 19 through 26. Jesus writes to the words of Luke. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and they licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they has to us that would come from thence. Stop the train. I want to go back. I want to turn around. I want to quit playing games with God. But I'm sorry, this time on this day, the train that you have been riding on along those tracks, the one that you chose to be on, is one that now is taking you to where it will be your life and it will be your soul that will not stop until you reach your final destination. As Sister Zotsman comes today, I ask you in your life, wherever it is that life for you finds you this day, to make the right choice and to make sure that your life's train is set upon the tracks that will carry you, to your eternal reward and not to that of your eternal regret. As the final stage is being set and the day draws nigh to where Jesus Christ will come back for his church. Yeah, we heard it all. We know this scripture, but no man knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But as we who must beware the signs of the time and make yourself ready for in the day that he, Jesus Christ, either comes back for you or it is you who is ushered off into that of an endless eternity where your train is will pull in and if you're not ready to meet God, that you in your life maybe should have lived your life, you'll now end up spending your whole of eternity regretting the fact that you didn't. As we stand together this afternoon, there's some of you under the sound of my voice today who do not understand that you're playing with fire. And I'm here today to tell you, you better be careful. The day could very well come, or you just might get burnt. To those of you who continue to waver, maybe sitting on the fence of indecision, my declaration to you today is, what are you going to do when the church is gone? It is too late for you, because now you cannot stop that train. I don't know about you, sir, ma'am, my friends today, saints. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. I want to be ready. We heard it this morning in Brother Mike's closing of his Bible study on the end times. Most important thing is to be ready. Oh, Pastor, this is just a message, you know, It's just another funny. You know how many have heard that you preached already? What if this was your last? What if you stepped out of this church today and you went down the road and you were doing whatever you were doing? And God looked down at you and said, I'm tired of your mocking. I'm tired of you fooling around. I'm tired of you just thinking you're going to get away with your life and what you're doing. And he goes, time. Parents come to see you, maybe your husband, your wife comes to see you next time it's in a funeral home. Stop the train. Stop it. God, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back. But God said, it's too late for you. Why don't you pray, wherever you are today, why don't you pray and say, God, whatever it is I need to do to make my life right, to get my life right with you, I don't want to get to that place. No longer I can stop the train. I want to be ready. Why don't you pray today? I feel the Holy Ghost within my soul. God's reaching for you today. Don't shut another door in his face. Don't close another opportunity that you have of making things right. Jesus, today.